This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Staples.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. In a social media post this weekend from former President Trump, he said he expects to be indicted next week and called on his supporters to protest. CBS's Christiane Benavides on what this is all about.
A New York grand jury is weighing an indictment of the former president in a case examining a $130,000 payment made days before the 2016 election to former adult film star Stormy Daniels. Since January, several people close to the former president have met with Manhattan prosecutors. Trump has denied any wrongdoing.
All signs point to his imminent indictment.
Former Assistant U.S. Attorney Donya Perry says that will likely include having a mugshot taken, being processed, and an arraignment in front of a judge.
Now, there has been no official notification from the DA's office about an arrest this week. An attorney for Trump told CBS News his comments are speculation and that Mr. Trump is rightfully highlighting his innocence and the weaponization of our injustice system. Just days after an arrest warrant was issued for Russian President Putin, he was seen traveling this weekend. BBC correspondent Emily Thomas with details.
The Russian President Vladimir Putin has visited the devastated Ukrainian city of Mariupol that was seized by Russian troops last May. Russian state media said he traveled to the industrial port city by helicopter during the night. Images shown on Russian media showed Mr. Putin driving around various districts in the dark, visiting a theater and inspecting a floodlit playground in a reconstructed residential area.
He also visited Crimea, which was illegally annexed back in 2014. North Korea test-fired a short-range ballistic missile today. Reporter Alex Jensen with the latest from Seoul, South Korea.
This latest North Korean test came 3 days after a long-range missile launch, adding up to 4 missile tests since last Sunday. And the North's expected to continue that pattern with several days left of joint military drills involving South Korean and American forces, as the U.S. has also redeployed a nuclear-capable B-1B bomber to the peninsula.
A magnitude 6.7 earthquake hit Ecuador and northern Peru yesterday. At least 16 are confirmed dead. Hundreds are injured, and rescue crews are trying to see if others are still trapped under the rubble. The National Weather Service says there is no tsunami warning in effect. And while you probably should keep those sweaters out a little bit longer, you can officially say goodbye to winter. Today is the last day. The vernal equinox arrives tomorrow at 5:24 p.m. Eastern Time, marking the beginning of spring. This is CBS News.
Staples stores are a new world of possible with innovative tools for small business and remote workers and learners. Explore more at your local Staples store or staplesconnect.com.
A progressive voice from Manitowoc to Janesville. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell. The federal infrastructure law has been in effect for a year now. Community leaders around Wisconsin are optimistic about badly needed repairs and improvements. Here's Mike Moen.
At the League of Wisconsin Municipalities, Zach Brewing says so far nearly $3 billion in projects have been announced with funding from the law. Most are transportation related, and Brewing says it's badly needed as many areas have backlogs for priorities like road and bridge repairs.
And so by having a real strong federal partnership in the area of infrastructure helps address some of the backlog.
The law will also provide states funding for clean water infrastructure and expansion of high-speed internet. The plan did have some Republican opposition, but has otherwise been hailed by political analysts as a bipartisan achievement. Despite the significance of the law, some of those analysts say it hasn't stayed on the public's radar, especially during the recent election. But supporters are still getting the word out. Megan Rowe is with Opportunity Wisconsin, which has spent the last year educating communities about the benefits of these projects.
Whether we're spending less on car repairs due to updated roads and bridges, having access to safe drinking water or improved mass transit opportunities, this law is a once-in-a-generation investment in our state's infrastructure and competitiveness.
And as more projects are announced, Rowe says it means additional well-paid union jobs for distressed areas. She says the long-term benefits from various improvements should particularly help rural areas and underserved communities. An interactive online map from the White House shows the projects so far are spread fairly evenly across Wisconsin. Mike Moen, Wisconsin News Connection.
For Civic Media News, I'm Terry Bell.
The Civic Media team would like to say congratulations. More than 200 Wisconsin businesses and nonprofits are receiving a free advertising campaign through our one-day $1 million advertising giveaway. If you missed out, our local sales team would still love to help you with your own campaign. Go to civicmedia.us and click on the sponsorship tab. Again, civicmedia.us and sponsorship. New and still growing. Advertise today with a Civic Media network of radio stations.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk from Butler to Windlake. Always streaming at waukradio.com. You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media. To learn more, go to our website, civicmedia.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
You're listening to the best of Native Roots Radio presents I'm Awake. I'm your host, Wakunjahade, Distant Thunder. My colonized name is Robert Pilot. We discuss national and local Native American news and events. As we all know, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
It's a good day to be Indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Couldn't cut, couldn't cut people.
Because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunjahade.
Hey, Buju relatives. This is Ogamugganuakwe from Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm here for the first segment. You'll have just me. We'll see and talk to Robert Pilot and Wendy Pilot in the next couple of segments as they do a wonderful interview. But today we're just going to kick it off first thing with the news. So welcome, relatives, and thank you for tuning in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. I'm Ogamugganuakwe, and my name means Strong Golden Eagle Woman, and I'm a citizen of the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota, and that is the topic of my first, albeit vague, but a story nonetheless. Red Lake Action, which is a group of those who are working on the Lake Back issue of 1889, or the Treaty of 1889, rather, made an announcement about 3 days ago stating that the Red Lake Nation Chairman Darrell Secchi and the state of said in the state of the band of 2023 that the tribe is going to take action to get the rest of our lake back, which is going to be a developing story. So for those of you who don't know, the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota is on Red Lake or near Red Lake. And the Red Lake is actually split into an upper and a lower lake. And if you're watching me online, I'm gesturing to my sweatshirt. So there's upper and lower Red Lake. And only half of the lake is technically within the bounds of the Red Lake Nation. And in the original 1889 treaty, the entire lake was promised to the Red Lake Nation. And there's been years and years of talk about taking action to get the rest of the lake back. And it's exciting to hear that there is going to be action on that from the tribal chairman. Lake Back, which is a spinoff of Land Back up in Red Lake, started back in 2011. And this is a really historical announcement to hear the chairman talk about that in the state of the band. So I'm really excited about that as a Red Laker myself, and excited for what that could mean for the future of other tribes who are wanting to take land and water back to care for. So speaking of Land Back, another really great organization that's working on land back in the Twin Cities is the Four Sisters Farmers Market, which is a product of the Native American Community Development Institute, which is a sponsor for this segment today. And they're wondering if anybody would like to reserve a garden bed with the Four Sisters Urban Farm Space. So if you have an interest in growing your own vegetables or fruits in an indigenous community garden and learning more about food sovereignty. Reserve a garden bed with the Four Sisters Urban Farm Space. They are going to be on a first-come, first-served basis, and they do have priorities. Priorities include residents of the East Phillips neighborhood, residents of the East Phillips neighborhood without access to other growing spaces, and food-insecure residents of East Phillips. If you would like to find out more, you can go over to NACD, that's NACDI.org/Four Sisters Farm, or click on the Four Sisters Farmers Market link at NACD.org. Really exciting that that is something that is available to the community in the East Phillips neighborhood and beyond. And, you know, we're going to take a minute here to jump all the way across Turtle Island over into California, into Hollywood kind of area. But it's not the same kind of story that you're thinking it might be. I'm not about to talk about reservation dogs, but I'm actually going to be talking about P22, which is a mountain lion that prowled Griffith Park near Hollywood for about the last 10 years. If you're not familiar with P22, P22 was a mountain lion that was named for the study that he was a part of. P stands for Puma, and 22 is the number that he was given. But this cat was really remarkable because it was born in a totally different part of California. And it made, at some point in its life, it made a remarkable 50-mile journey that took him across the two Los Angeles major freeways and managed to evade traffic and human detection in that time. And then he found the wilderness of Griffith Park and set up his own range in that area at only 8 square miles. To science, it's probably the smallest roaming territory of any known mountain lion. Typically, a male cat's territory is 150 square miles. So he was caught on film at Griffith Park about 10 years ago and was fitted with a collar, and they began to track his movements. And anywhere else in the country, of course, he probably would have just been another cat that the scientists were tracking, but he was in Los Angeles. So of course they made him famous, and he was really well loved by the community there. And a lot of people knew about him, but he was so rarely seen. But unfortunately, he was very old. He was about 12 years old, and the difficult decision was made to euthanize him recently. And he received a private tribal burial. So the four local tribes in the area led the ceremony to honor this puma as a symbol of the wilderness still present in Southern California. And there was also a small group of officials from the organizations such as the National Park Service and the National Wildlife Federation that also attended his funeral. And he was buried most likely in the same area where he was born and where there's other mountain lions that are still roaming. But to protect P22's remains, the location of the grave will not be disclosed, and the sacred ceremony that was given to him will not be open, was not open to the public and was not recorded. The tribal elder with the Ferdinandio Tativium and Venturino Chumash tribe said he was a leader and a chief, and they wanted to be as respectful as possible to such a magnificent animal. Those who were in presence of that said that a red-tailed hawk wheeled overhead and called out several times. And tribal members performed traditional songs and made offerings for the spirit of P22. And, you know, it's a really dark contrast to, or stark contrast, excuse me, to, you know, what normally happens with these animals. Normally these animals, their bodies are disposed of when they're euthanized. And the organizations that were studying P22 had actually wanted to handle his remains for scientific research. And the tribe stepped in to the California Department of Fish and Wildlife and the Los Angeles County National History Museum to make sure that the mountain lion's remains were and not just simply discarded. And he was given a proper burial. And I think that that's something that's really important that we, you know, take a little time to talk about. You know, when we talk about respecting all of our relatives, that is some of the things that we talk about. And one last thing I want to touch on the environmental world is that the Biden administration said today that they're approving the Willow Oil Project in Alaska's North Slope, which is a really controversial climate choice from the Biden administration and has drawn a lot of negative press from environmentalists, myself included. Biden's Willow plan allows three sites to be drilled, and ConocoPhillips would have about 219 total wells in that area. And there's a fourth drill site proposed for the project as well. And ConocoPhillips said it's going to relinquish rights to about 68,000 acres of existing leases in the National Petroleum Reserve in Alaska. But many climate activists, including myself, are outraged that Biden is greenlighting the project because it really goes against his plan and campaign promise to stop new oil drilling on public lands. So this is, again, one of those things that we talk about here on Native Roots Radio. If you are looking for more information about it, you can check the hashtag Stop Willow campaigns on social media and, you know, see if there's some things that you can get involved with to write to the Biden administration there. And we can talk a little bit more about this later in the week. So thanks for tuning in to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We'll be right back with Robert and Wendy Pilot for some awesome interviews, and stay tuned.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
Hey, this is Matt from Design Garden. Remember when the internet was new? Back then, you had to leave your house to start a business. Companies used to pay programmers bags of cash to get online. Now, small businesses can get online with a Facebook business page, or Squarespace, or Google My Business, or WordPress. But which tools should you use? Can you afford to go down the wrong path? Design Garden uses modern tools to build your website the right way. Find us online at design.garden. Again, that's design.garden.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Weather on this snowy day in Milwaukee could be brought to us by your pizza delivery business. Can you imagine how many families are snuggled in their homes enjoying hot, tasty pizza? Weather makes the phone ring for just $199 per week. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Highs around 39. Today, under clear skies, west winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Mainly clear tonight. Lows around 28. Mainly cloudy tomorrow. Slight chance for scattered showers. High temperatures reach up to 45. Upper 40s Tuesday with a chance for scattered rain showers. Warmer Wednesday with highs in the low 50s. Chance for showers continues. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Wisconsin's home for rational talk radio.
Hi, I'm Jane Fonda, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by the Native American Community Clinic on Franklin Avenue in Minneapolis, honoring health and tradition.
Hey, thanks, Wendy. Hey, we have an important election happening in our neighboring state here. We're all over Civic Media, so It's our relatives in Wisconsin. That's important election coming up. And April 4th is when the election is, but there's early voting in March 21st. And we know, you and I know how much we like that. And we got we have a very important person here that's running for a Supreme Court a judge, and her name is Judge Janet Protasevich. And we are so happy to have you, Janet, and thank you. It's election time, and I know it's really important. Your schedule's really important, and you're still working as a judge. So thank you so much for spending time with us here on Native Roots Radio.
Well, I'm delighted and honored to be here, quite frankly. So thank you so much for having me here this morning.
Well, we want to get a little who you are and where you're from and what you're doing and what got you to this point, Judge Janet. So do you mind introducing yourself to our listening audience all over Turtle Island?
Sure, I'm happy to. So my name is Janet Protasewicz. I'm a judge in Milwaukee County. I just wrapped up almost 3 years handling homicide and sexual assault cases. And now I'm doing family court cases. I would say it was about a year ago when I started thinking about this race, probably a little bit more than a year ago, and decided to get into this race because the stakes are so incredibly high. And everything that people care about in the state of Wisconsin is on the line. And everything that people care about in this state is going to be determined by who wins this seat on April 4th. And I have to be very careful when I talk to people. Obviously, I haven't prejudged anything, and whatever comes to our Wisconsin Supreme Court will be judged based on the law. All decisions will be rooted in the law and the Constitution. But I've been very clear with people about what my values are and what my values are in regard to, you know, a number of issues. You know, first of all, Wisconsin is amongst the most gerrymandered states in the country. And you think about that, and you think about that in conjunction with a person's right to a representative democracy and their right to having their vote count. And, you know, the very gerrymandered maps have affected absolutely everybody in our state and have marginalized people's ability to have their vote count. And I've been very clear that my value is that everybody's vote should count. You know, we have women's rights issues. We have an 1849 abortion ban in the state of Wisconsin. And I think that it is critically important that people understand that my value is that I think a woman should have a right to choose and make those reproductive right decisions herself. So I anticipate that that issue will come before our Wisconsin Supreme Court. I can tell you that, you know, in contrast to my opponent, I can tell you with 100% certainty that if he is elected, that 1849 ban will stand. Then we have all sorts of other issues. You know, Wisconsin's a battleground state. And so let's talk about our 2024 presidential election. I would anticipate that the results of the 2024 presidential election will end up in front of our Supreme Court chamber, just as the results of our 2020 election did. And you may know that our election in the state of Wisconsin was really upheld by a 4-3 majority on our Supreme Court. And it's, you know, kind of frightening, quite frankly, to have come that close to not having our election votes count in Wisconsin. And, you know, there are conservation issues and, you know, LGBTQ marriage equality issues. There's just so many issues that likely to come before the Supreme Court. It makes it a very, very critical race.
Yes, yes, and that makes it really critical that you're on with us today, and we really appreciate it. I was wondering too. So, what is your background? Where were you brought up, and what college did you go to? I want to kind of play. I don't know. You're not old enough to remember this, but there used to be a show called "This Is Your Life." So, this is your life section here. What where'd you go to college, and you know what's your background?
So I was born and raised on the south side of Milwaukee to two, you know, very hardworking parents. My mom was a teacher. My stepdad was a teacher. And they both worked really hard, instilled in me, you know, that you're going to work hard, you're going to get a good education, and you're going to give back to your community. You know, we were not raised with a lot of means. You know, we could have a meal on the table, but, you know, we had to work our way through school. And I went to UW-Milwaukee, worked my way through school, majored in history. Then I went to Marquette for law school. Excuse me. Marquette was a really wonderful experience. Really taught me that I wanted to stay true to being rooted in my community. And that is exactly what I did. Worked for the district attorney's office for really a quarter of a century before I decided to run for judge. And I've been a judge in Milwaukee since 2014. And I can proudly tell people that the only clients that I have ever had are the people of the state of Wisconsin. And so I've worked very hard to protect families, protect victims, obviously the accused, making sure that their, their constitutional rights are also upheld, but have worked very, very hard in our community to be fair and impartial and protect people.
Yeah, that's awesome. We have some native issues here that we'd like to just touch base with you. One of the things I feel like is really important, and I think you do too, is that we talk about here a lot all over Turtle Island, and it's really come to the forefront about missing and murdered Indigenous women and relatives. And those are things that aren't taught in school and are just coming up through the media and TikTok and, shows like ours.
Right.
Tell us a little bit about what you know about this and let our audience know.
Well, it's really frightening. And I'll just say this. I was on two Indian reservations yesterday. So the timing of your radio show couldn't be better. I was with the Menominee Nation. And then I was with the Oneida Nation, talking to Native people about their thoughts and about their concerns. So, the missing, murdered, and Indigenous women issue, is very, very close to my heart. I believe it's a pandemic. I believe that the movement to prevent it is not often taken seriously enough by investigators and law enforcement. I also know that we have very little data about these cases. And, it's interesting because people I talk to are obviously extraordinarily concerned about the missing, murdered Indigenous women issue. I can tell you that I am certainly, obviously, very concerned about it. And I'm glad you brought it up.
Yeah, it's very important. It's really coming to the forefront. Mm-hmm. And I know we talk a lot, especially with here in Minnesota. And this show started because of, I don't want to say the word uprising, but the conflict with Standing Rock and all the misinformation and the Dakotas about the pipelines and things like that. So, how important is treaty rights? Because we know and we talk about here on the show a lot that treaties are the supreme law of the land. How important and what is your feeling about the treaties that have been signed over the hundreds of years?
Well, I think that it's pretty obvious to me that the tribes are constantly having to defend their treaties. Obviously, they are considered the law of the land. They are, integral to your standing. It is very clear to me that the tribes have not been treated fairly over the years. I told both groups that I talked with yesterday, I was an American history major, and I took one entire class on Manifest Destiny. In Milwaukee, at UW-Milwaukee, there is a professor, and he's actually from England, and he has dedicated his entire career, quite frankly, to talking about the expansion of the West and Manifest Destiny and how that impacted the Native people. I have been well aware of these issues, obviously, for decades, and I want you to know, and I want your people and listeners to understand that I certainly have a recognition of the issues, and I certainly am a listening ear for all of those issues as well.
I think, Wendy, it's really exciting that we're able to talk to candidates like this and in a sense vet them out. And we really appreciate this conversation.
Absolutely. It's so important.
You know, we're going to take a break here in a minute, and I just want to tell everybody we're here with Judge Janet Protasevich, and she's running for a very important seat here in Wisconsin, and it's the Supreme Court, and it doesn't get any more important than that, and this discussion is going to keep on going here in the next segment. So you are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake.
Stay with us.
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
CBS News Brief. Republicans are jumping to the defense of former President Trump after he said he thinks he'll be arrested on Tuesday. Senator Lindsey Graham.
You know why they're doing this? Because they're afraid of Trump. That's why they're doing it.
This D.C. resident disagrees.
I think it's a great thing that Donald Trump will get arrested.
Just days after a court issued a warrant for the arrest of Russian President Putin, he visited the Ukrainian city of Mariupol, which was seized by Russian troops. BBC correspondent James Landell in Kyiv.
From the Russian, the Kremlin perspective, Mariupol is a city that represents some form of success from last year.
With the latest big bank turmoil, should we be surprised? Banking analyst Bert Ely.
Credit Suisse has had issues unique to it for several years now, so one should not be surprised that these problems are coming to a head.
The Swiss government's pressing UBS Bank to take over Credit Suisse with a $6 billion cash infusion. CBS News Brief. I'm Stacey Lynn.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Direct from the Dairy States, it's Extra Sharp Weekends, a three-hour block of Wisconsin-produced radio, Saturdays and Sundays from 11 a.m. till 2 p.m., featuring Raised in Wisco with Joel Clayfish and Danielle Fairman, The Krebs Cast with Charlie Behrens, and Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown. Enjoy it by the slice or enjoy the whole darn block. Extra Sharp Weekends is radio so fresh, it squeaks. Listen in on the Civic Media station or on the app.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show. And we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m., right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As goes Wisconsin.
Mandela Barnes, future runs. Not yes, not no.
You know, I'm not closing the door, right? Like, taking a loss is not easy. And it's tough, too, when it's such a razor-thin margin. You know, I know some people who just get up right away and decide they want to run again. Like,
yeah.
I'm not there. But, you know, it's all timing.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Piper. Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
Hey, Wendy, this is a really important show. Not that they all aren't, but this is super important.
Absolutely.
And we're working on how well we did in school and how we can figure out how the Supreme Court fits into our daily life.
Government is very, very complicated.
Right, exactly. Hey, we're here with candidate Judge Janet Protasevich, and she is running for the Supreme Court Justice in Wisconsin. And welcome back. And let's just talk about a little bit about how important this election is, Janet. And again, thanks for staying with us.
Oh, thank you so much. So this election is going to really determine the makeup of our Supreme Court. So by a little way of background, there are 7 seats in our Wisconsin Supreme Court. Right now, 3 of those seats are held by people who uphold the law and follow the law and uphold the Constitution. Those are Justices Ann Walsh Bradley and Karofsky and Dalit. And then we have extremists on the other side. I would say that we have the opportunity of a lifetime because one of those 4 seats is opening up, and that's what this election is all about. It's giving us an incredible, incredible opportunity to shift the balance in the court to 4 justices who are going to do just that, bring change to our Supreme Court, bring common sense to our Supreme Court, get away from the extreme partisanship, and, you know, people are going to be able to feel like they go into court with an independent Supreme Court and there's not a thumb on the scale against them. So I think that that is, you know, critically important, and the stakes couldn't be higher. So, you know, we've got some of the issues that we've talked about, but then you put those issues in conjunction with the opportunity to shift the balance of power on our court. And the race is so critically important. I can't even overstate how important it is. And I suspect that that is why we are getting so much attention from across the country about this race.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, our democracy and, you know, the people, the things that you brought up in the first segment, just about the rights that are slowly being eroded that have been around, you know, for us for hundreds or not hundreds, but 50 years, like Roe versus Wade. The percentage of the people in this country are upset and came out and voted. So we always talk about this is the most important election, but they all are. And we got to stop talking that way. They're all important. Right, Wen?
Yeah, and it's important for regular citizens like you and I, Robert, to get involved in politics. I always say it, you know, get to know your city council member, your House representative, and the senator in your area that represent you and get involved in important issues.
Well, we have an election coming up April 4th, and you can start in-person. Early voting begins March 21st, and this is a very important election. So, Janet, can you help us tell us what the pecking order or the line of order that the Supreme Court comes into play for maybe a normal or regular citizen or a lawsuit, or how does that work? And it's been a long time since I've been in high school.
Okay, so here's generally how it works. I'm a judge in the circuit court right now. So every case that's filed in Milwaukee County, and we have 47 branches, is heard by one of the judges in Milwaukee County. So a case comes in front of me, say a homicide case comes in front of me, and I handle the case from beginning to end. At the end of that case, a party can appeal it, and they would appeal it to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals in Wisconsin takes every single case that is appealed. They have to. That's their job. They're really an error-correcting court. And what they do is they say, oh, she got it right, or she got it wrong, or she got part of it right. or she got part of it wrong. We're going to affirm it, we're going to reverse it, or we're going to send it back and say, go fix it, right? That's what the Court of Appeals does. They're an error-correcting court. Then our highest court of the land is our Wisconsin Supreme Court. And what happens at our Supreme Court are, you know, disputes are brought, but they are not all accepted by the Supreme Court. The Supreme Court selects the cases that they believe will have the most impact on the people of the state of Wisconsin, combined with the fact as to whether or not it's really a, you know, new, novel, cutting-edge legal issue. And then the state Supreme Court would hear that case based on, you know, there'd be briefing, there'd be oral arguments, and then the court would render a decision. So it's very different from the circuit court, which handles every single case and all decisions are based on the law, to the next level, which is the Court of Appeals, which is the error correcting court, to our state Supreme Court, which really develops the common law for this state.
Wow. That was good. Do you have any questions?
Yes. You know what? I learn something every time we talk to, when we talk about the law and the government and the branches and how a bill is passed and a whole bunch of stuff. So it's great.
One thing, Judge Janet, I just want to like give a shout out to our Gen Zs, because this last election cycle, they outnumbered, Wendy and I are boomers, and they outnumbered us for the first time ever. And they're seeing what's going on. They don't have the same perspective as a lot of people do. They're really, they're first generation that's not going to live as long. They're not, it's going to be harder to get a house. There are all these things. So it's great to see. But we also want to talk about how important every election is. And that, you know, if we're sick and tired of being sick and tired, we outnumber them. We just have to stay engaged and know how important these elections are.
100%. And, you know, you hear so much from, you know, people who are campaigning and talking about races, that their race is the most important race. And so, you know, you hear that. And I think people get tired of hearing that, and they don't necessarily know when the stakes are as high as they are. This race, I can tell you, is that most important race. It's going to shape what happens in the state of Wisconsin for many, many years to come. And those concerns and issues that we talked about are going to be coming before this Supreme Court. You know, a woman's right to choose, you know, our presidential election results, maybe a fresh look at the gerrymandering and the maps, conservation issues, you know, marriage equality issues, so many issues that I would anticipate will come before this court. And so this is the big one. This is critical.
Right. When you talk about gerrymandering, I think in the last, the year ago when this last election cycle was happening here nationally, they talked about something like Republicans only have to come out and be 40% of the vote. And then, but the Democrats to switch anything almost have to be 60% of the vote. Do you kind of know what I'm talking about there? Because I'm bringing in some numbers that I'm not 100% sure on, but there's something like that, that we have to vote more in order to change things, meaning the Democrats?
Well, the Democrats have certainly some roadblocks built against them, and here's why. You know, Wisconsin's a battleground state. No matter how you look at it, no matter what you think, no matter what side you're on, we're a battleground state. We have very, very close statewide elections. So given the fact that we have very close statewide elections, you'd kind of think the makeup of our state legislature would be about 50-50, right? You'd kind of think that the makeup of the number of people that we send to the House of Representatives would be 50-50. You'd kind of think that. But instead, you look at the eight members of the House of Representatives that we have. Two are blue, six are red. You look at our state assembly and our state senate, and about 65% are red, 35% are blue. And you say, you know, to any rational person, how can that be fair, right? How can that possibly be fair when we have such a battleground state? Shouldn't it be closer to 50-50? And then when things are closer to 50-50, you have the ability for people to, you know, get a little closer to the middle and work together and be less extreme. So, you know, I think that the gerrymandering has, you know, numerous issues attendant to it.
Yeah. Wow. Hey, we're here with Judge Janet Protasevich, and she's running for the Supreme Court in Wisconsin. Judge Janet, can you give our audience how we can support you, a website, a Facebook, how we can donate to your cause and basically our cause?
Take a look at janetforjustice.com. The website's janetforjustice.com. It talks about ways people can get involved and ways people can volunteer, lets you add your name to the endorsement list. You know, there are so many things that people can do. And what I've been telling people, for me, the most critical thing is to get that vote out on April 4th. You know, we cannot pick our foot off the pedal. We have to run right through that finish line. The most critical, critical thing that we can do is make sure that we're getting that vote out. And that is what is so important. So, you know, the early voting on March 21st, the absentee voting, any way that people can get themselves and their friends to the polls is the way that we are going to, you know, come to victory on April 4th and bring Wisconsin back to the great progressive state that it once was.
Yes, it was. It definitely was. I lived in Madison for a short time, and we love Madison, don't mm-hmm. we, Wendy?
Yeah, it's beautiful. Love it.
And, you know, just to remind everyone, too, that you can bring your tribal ID and also an ID or a proof of residence. And so we got about a minute left, Judge Janet. Let's hear your best stump speech. That was hard for me to say. Stump speech.
My best stump speech is every single thing that you care about is on the line with this race. Every single thing. You know, and like we've talked about before, everything about saving our democracy is on the line. And we have the opportunity to do just that. If we get out to the polls, we have the opportunity to do just that because we can shift the balance on our Supreme Court from a 4-3 majority of extreme partisans to a 4-3 majority of people who are going to follow the law and uphold our Constitution.
Wow. Well said. Perfect. This has been an amazing interview, Wendy. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Judge Janet Protasevich. Mm-hmm. You don't know how hard I've been working on your name over the last few days.
You did great.
Thank you. Thank you. Hey, wow, great. We're going to put this on the best of, too, Wendy. This mm-hmm. has been an amazing interview. Thank you so much for your time. I know you're very busy, but it's very important for us to hear the truth and speak to you. Thank you so, so much for coming on.
Thank you so much. It was delightful.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning. Max Inc. Radio with Dennis Graham from Rockonson.
Appreciate all the support of Mad Radio 92.7. And by the way, a tip of the hat to Civic Media. That was a great article in the Cap Times by Paul Fanlon. You guys got a great model that you're growing around the state, local interest with radio stations throughout these different markets. And a tip of the hat, and you're focusing on local music and nobody's doing it. So great job.
Listen to Max Inc. Radio Saturday night, 6 to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Finish your high school diploma for you and your family. Visit finishyourdiploma.org to find free adult education centers near you. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Weather on this snowy, snowy day could be brought to us by your business. Can you imagine how many snowblowers, snow shovels, and snowmobiles are being sold as we speak? Weather sponsorships make the phone ring. Call us at 608-819-8255.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. Daytime highs approaching 39 today under sunny skies. West winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Lows around 28 tonight. Cloudy skies with a few peaks of sun. Tomorrow, slight chance for scattered showers. Highs around 45. Temps a bit above average Tuesday and Wednesday with highs from the upper 40s to the low 50s. Showers both days. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 16 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM.
Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
Hey, welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Well, that was a lively howl,
yeah,
Wendy.
Good. I know.
Hey, I want to introduce my awesome and beautiful wife, Wendy. Wendy has been an animal advocate for many years, and we discuss here in the last almost 7 years on Native Roots Radio our sacred animals segment, which are our relatives in a native way. So always appreciate it. Always learning. Thank you, Wendy, and welcome.
Yes. Hi, everybody. My name is Hanaji Hihani, and that means cares for them. I was given that name by my Dega Curtis. Curtis goes by Mashke Hanajinga, which means walks on white clouds. I'm a humane policy volunteer leader for the Humane Society of the United States, and I work on animal issues at the local and state level, and it's always my pleasure to do that. So I love talking about our sacred animals, and I have been seeing so many articles. I'm reading articles, and I have Facebook pop-ups here on this wildlife cams, Robert. You know, the cams that are set up all over the wild, and we get to see these beautiful wild animals in their natural habitat,
right?
You know, doing their normal everyday
house cleaning,
everything. And I love these cams because they don't really disturb the way these animals are living.
Yeah.
So I've been watching one of the cams. It's the Big Bear Lake cam. Friends of the Big Bear, and the Big Bear Lake is in San Bernardino.
No, that was good.
County, California. And what this cam is watching is two eagles. So these two eagles named Jackie and Shadow. And as I talked about before on the show, eagles mate for life. So these two have been together for quite some time.
Yeah.
Yes. And over the years, they have had many, laid many eggs and have hatched many eaglets. But unfortunately, sometimes the eggs just don't hatch for whatever reason. You know, nobody really knows exactly what it is. It could be that was really bad weather, or that, you know, the eggs were left, you know, without warmth for a little while. It could be a whole bunch of different things.
Right.
So if you'd like to go on the Friends of Big Bear Lake and watch the cam, it's really unbelievable. But there's people watching these two eagles, Jackie and Shadow. And it's kind of a sad story that this year they had eggs and they were in the nest. And Jackie and Shadow were taking turns taking care of the eggs and incubating them and sitting on them, and while the other one goes hunting and this and that. And this is seen in the wild all the time with eagles, that they share the parental responsibilities, which is really awesome. But 2 days ago, the cam showed that they both had left the nest. Jackie and Shadow had left the nest.
Oh.
Yeah, because I think Jackie, who's the female, realized that the eggs were not going to hatch. I guess she could figure out, like, by sitting them, if there's any movement inside them. And she knew that they were not going to hatch. So they both left the nest. And the reason why she left the nest is so that other birds could come. Ravens came and ate the eggs and cleaned out the nest. But what happened was Shadow really, they said, like, he wasn't really, didn't really know or understand what was happening. So when Shadow went back to the nest and didn't see the eggs, he was really astonished. And you could kind of see his reaction on the cam, that he is very surprised and he is, like, looking for these eggs that were there, you know, every day.
And what they did was they saw him every day come to the nest, and he would clean the nest, and he would adjust the sticks around the nest and fix everything nice. And he would spend hours doing that every day while he took care and, you know, took care of these eggs. But when he came back and did not see the eggs again, he was very surprised, and you could see him looking around and, you know, seemingly very surprised, like, what the heck, what happened to the eggs? And he didn't clean the nest at all. He didn't do his usual stick ritual. And then it says here that the people who were, you know, watching these eagles and really keeping an eye on them noticed that Jackie was over in a tree, and Shadow flew over to the tree, but didn't sit next to Jackie. He sat, you know, in another branch, but then she came over to him, and it looked like, you know, she was comforting him because he seemed very upset about it, and that it seemed to them that Jackie was able to, you know, process the loss of her eggs, and that, you know, she was able to accept it, where Shadow, the male, really took it very, very hard. But the good news is, Robert, is that there was just somebody just saw them just the other day mate again.
Wow.
So they're not really sure whether it's time, the timing is right, and whether they could have fertilized eggs and hatch in time, you know, before all the snow and everything leaves. But we're going to keep our fingers crossed and see. But there's always next season. Right. And again, you know, these animals, they mate for life, and they have feelings, and they have emotions, and they, you know, visibly show their emotions. You know, so Shadow is visibly shaken by this.
Wow.
Yeah. There's an article also in the Sacramento Bee, and that is dated March 9th. It's written by Helena Wagner, and you could read about that. Or you could go again to this Big Bear Lake Friends and watch the cam. It's really beautiful. I mean, this nest, the size of this nest is just unbelievable. It's really high up in this tree, and it overlooks the Big Bear Lake, which is just beautiful. I mean, the scenery is just beautiful. But it got me thinking, you know, these animals, and we've witnessed it, Robert, over the years. Even our dogs that we have, just recently, we have one dog, Gracie, who's been pretty sick.
Yeah.
You know, she's on medication, and she's doing okay. But we could notice that Wanda, our other dog, mm-hmm. is upset about it. And right. I even called the vet about it, because Wanda has been shaking, or like quivering every now and then. You would just see her quivering. And right. I was worried that she might be in pain because she tore her ACL.
Yeah.
Right? She tore her ACL. Yeah. So the vet said she wasn't in any pain, and she is on light pain medications for her arthritis. But in any case, you know, I called the vet, and I just said, I think Wanda might be in pain. So he like went through all these things. You know, if you lift her leg, does she do this? Do you lift her head? Does she do this? No, she's not in any pain. We realize that. And then he said, is there anything stressful going on in the house? And I said, well, you know what? I'm glad you asked me that, because I think that she's upset about Gracie. And he said to me, you know what? That happens all the time.
Oh.
Where pets have a housemate that they really care about, and they can sense when something is wrong. And he said she might just be upset about Gracie.
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that something? Like these little beings, like you call them little beings.
Well, I know, like, Gracie used to sit with our cats that were sick and mm-hmm. comfort them.
Yeah.
And she sensed that too. So that's crazy.
That's
that,
right.
That it's reversed. And, you know, when we got those three, two of them, we had to get together because, you know, we got these.
They're a bonded pair.
Right.
Yeah, they're
and it
bonded.
Was so, we did not know that until we witnessed it, that mm-hmm. how much they both loved hanging out with each other. And Wanda would teach Gracie what's going on. But, hey, Wendy, thank you so much again for our sacred animals, our relatives, our family. Really appreciate talking about it. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. We're still here. We are the seventh generation.
Free Leonard Peltier.
Now.
It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Imagine planning your wedding in just one day. Pre-register for tickets at madcitybridoexpo.com and receive a $200 gift card. Tickets are also available at the door for $10. Read all the details at madcitybridoexpo.com and like them on Facebook. It's the Mad City Brido Expo, Sunday, March 26th at the Monona Terrace in Madison. Your ring is just the beginning.
Guys, stop putting your love life on hold. U.S. Pharmacy has some exciting...